Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three. Feel love. Feel love.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. The weekend's almost here. Get some R&R, I pray. Well, Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about who's the most vulnerable to disease. It may be an eye-opener for you. Also, we're going to talk about a little bit of history of longevity and get that in, and we'll see what happens, how much time we got for some other things here on our stack. We do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi, our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees, seeking Lord's face. That's what you should do. Seek Lord's face and mind the time, because it grows short. Because after all, we were all created to glorify Him. Don't ever forget that. Well, in the devotional today, it is from Psalms 29 and 1 Peter 1. It goes like this. Meet me in the morning stillness, while the earth is fresh with the dew of my presence. Worship me in the beauty of holiness. Sing love songs to my holy name. And as you give yourself to me, my spirit swells within you till you are flooded with divine presence. The world's way is pursuing riches and grasping and hoarding. You attain my riches by letting go and giving. The more you give yourself to me in my ways, the more I fill you with inexpressible heavenly joy. Amen to that. I'll take it. I will. And I hope you're seeking the Lord's face and mind in the time, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, first up in the quacker, seems to be there's an epidemic in 38 of our states that are reporting some toxic lead levels, and especially not in water sources, but in our own children. According to the study that was in published in Pediatrics, it's kind of a sister journal for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Anyway, so the study said that they pulled some data from the CDC, they also pulled it from some reports on childhood lead poisoning. And it revealed that 38 states and Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, I mean the District of Columbia, had childhood lead exposure of 10 micrograms per deciliter or higher. So this is an estimate, and they said the elevated blood levels in children was about 99.9% in the northeast region of the country. It was 94.3% in the Midwest. To contrast that, the CDC says it's 25.3% in the South and 21% in the West with children with elevated lead blood levels. All right, moving along in the quack report. If you're feeling sick, they said it could be your house that's making you sick. They said the average American home collects about 40 pounds of toxic dust per year. Ugh. All right, so 40 pounds. According to this report, it was in the Journal of Asthma and Allergy and the Foundation of America. Let's see, they said that dust mites produced a lot of a threat to public health. 13 different species of these small, minute organisms. And they say dust mites, as you know, feed on tiny flakes of human skin, and you can't really see them. They're so microscopic, but they can fill up your house, they say, and your carpets and your furniture and your bedding with dust and toxins. So a lot of waste material from your dust mites. 45 also toxic chemicals are found in household dusts. So George Washington School of Public Health was analyzing all these different dust samples, and there's a plethora of adverse medical conditions that can come from the toxic dust in your house. All right, last but not least in the quack report, let's see, as health costs are going up, you know, Obamacare doing what it was designed to do and make the government the one-payer system. I don't know if they're going to get their act together in D.C. I really don't. But the higher deductibles on the health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act has kind of led to a rise in unpaid hospital bills. I think one person described it as people go to the hospital and it's like a dine and dash kind of situation. They get treated and they run out of there. So what hospitals are doing now is they're asking patients to pay up front before they get treated. That's right. So the only problem is a lot of people on the exchanges through the Affordable Care Act, you know, just individuals, they can have like a $15,000 deductible on their plan, because most people went with, you know, the cost-saving bronze or silver plans, and that's kind of where the deductible is. And if you're a family, it kind of doubles it, you know. 18% spike in deductibles since 2014. So making healthcare unaffordable is what it's all about. And so it is working as it was designed to do. So it's going to be in your best interest to have options. And we're going to talk about that in this hour. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Well, we're going to pose some questions here tonight. Hope maybe give you some food for thought. Think about it, ponder it, pray about it. Because who are the most vulnerable in our populations on planet Earth? Who? Well, we're often told by authorities that the very young and the very old are the most vulnerable because, you know, health reasons and stuff. However, is that accurate? Would it be more accurate to say that all humans are vulnerable and depending on individual circumstance, they can either lower or increase their risk with regard to disease? Well, today scientific medicine encompasses this, well, they encompass the physical, the psychological, and even the social areas of our lives. So that's a whole lot of real estate to cover with prescription drugs, wouldn't you say? So let's take a look and see if we can get a more accurate picture of our vulnerability to disease and try to protect ourselves. But, you know, let's start out with all genetics aside, because modern science has often pointed to genetics as the cause of, you know, the cause for increased risk of disease. But in some instances, that may not be true. But, you know, scientists have actually come out and said that it is rare for genetics to be the reason for most diseases. So according to the scientist at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, gene errors are not the reason for cancer, but it may be due to a random DNA expression. So this kind of indicates, according to science, that parents are not to blame for passing on defective genes. And additionally, science is now saying an unhealthy lifestyle has nothing to do with most diseases. Whoa! You know, this poses an interesting dilemma, which is, if genes are not the cause of most disease, why is science developing gene editing using the CRISPR device? So the question is, do you believe that there's no cause and effect regarding disease, and that if you get sick, you're simply unlucky, or it's destiny that is in control? Well, it seems to me that over the last 100 years, medical science has promoted the following causes for disease. They've listed genes and heredity issues, mutating genes, cause unknown, inflammation, their big fallback, and of course, the immune system malfunction. So it's real important to see that science now is conveying the message that you have no control over health status and there is nothing you can do about it. Scientific medicine wants you dependent on them. Now, to a degree, the message has worked. More people than ever before rely on what science can give them. So my perspective's different. You know, over the years, it's become clear to me that people who rely on science for better health actually receive the opposite. So the question then becomes, who should you rely on? Well, let's look at making the vulnerable more vulnerable, because that's the name of the game. Let's say there are two ways to handle a situation, and you select what you think is the best way to deal with a health problem. So if you have chosen the wrong way, the results will become evident and can create a greater risk. For instance, in May 2016, a research team at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City found that antibiotics damage the human immune system. Did you catch that? Antibiotics damage the human immune system. So in addition, they said they found that the antibiotics destroy brain cells and inhibit brain cell growth. How many kids are on antibiotics today? Frank, will you want to estimate that? You know, for ear infections and all kinds of stuff. Is it inhibiting their brain cell growth? When did you ever hear this from your doctor who prescribed an antibiotic for an unconfirmed bacterial infection? So these are very harmful drugs dispensed to all over the world, millions of people. So the eventual result really is going to be more sickness, cognitive problems, and death. Well, let's look at the More results from science. This is, I'm reporting on it. Don't kill the messenger here. Medication, they say, can cause imbalance. So according to the research from the Kittering Cancer Center, and their information was published in the journals of Translational Medicine and Cell Reports, they say antibiotics cause a profound imbalance, they said, in the entire system. Not just the immune system, not just the brain, the entire body. So in 2016, there were like, what, 266 million U.S. antibiotic prescriptions written, and that was just in the outpatient doctor's offices. So the research team pointed out that it is standard treatment to load up cancer patients with antibiotics. So other patients that science loads up with antibiotics are for the following: pulmonary diseases, digestive diseases, skin conditions, anything that has to do with dermatitis, rash, you name it, surgical procedures, also for prevention method. Even if you don't have a bacterial infection, it's just standard to get you some IV drip antibiotics going. Dental procedures, of course, and infections, both, of course, bacterial and viral, and cosmetic procedures. All right, let's look at more drugs and more disease, because any medical treatment that disrupts, suppresses, or destroys your natural immune system is going to create more disease, right? Because it wipes out your natural defense. Most chronic illnesses are going to be, you're going to be able to trace that back to prescription meds. Yep. So a report in goodtherapy.org regarding research that was done in 2012 stated that benzodiazepines, often prescribed, as you know, we just did a show on them, for seizures, drug addiction, depression, anxiety, insomnia, eating disorders, and other conditions. So these benzodiazepine drugs, they say, impair the brain and immune system. So, okay, so what happens to you if you're on that for depression and an antibiotic for sinus infection? What happens to your immune system then? Well, what immune system is what I would say. You got none, basically. So there were like 85 million prescriptions sold for antidepressants in 2016. So articles in the media, such as The Guardian, they're telling readers that studies are concluding that men will feel the most depressed at the age of 35 because that is the age they are the loneliest, and 9% say they have no real friends. So people are also being told that their peak contentment is going to be between the ages of 38 and 42. The media goes on to remind us of the midlife crisis causing depression in men at the age of 50 and women at the age of 40. So no wonder the drug industry is selling more antidepressants. These media reports are in reality drug advertisements. So this research on the destruction from these drugs is important, especially for those with impaired immune system function like transplant and HIV patients. So, you know, this is science reporting on itself, basically, showing their dirty little petticoat there. Here's a quote from James Pendleton. He's the investigative writer for goodtherapy.org, and he's reporting on the research that was published in the 2012 Interdisciplinary Toxicology and also the National Library of Medicine. And he says, quote, "These results argue for more caution when prescribed anti-anxiety medications are being taken. Both drugs tested were Xanax and Clonopin and showed to degrade the immune system in distinct ways. Research found the blood and lymph glands were negatively impacted," end of quote. Whoa, you kind of need your glands in your blood, don't you? I would think, right? Good healthy ones anyway. So the scientists at the National Institute on Aging state, quote, "The human immune system is a complicated network of cells, tissue, and organs to keep us healthy and fight off disease and infection," end of quote. Well, they go on to say that as we get older, the immune system changes. Oh, well, it's obvious the immune system will change if people are taking prescribed drugs. Absolutely. Well, let's look at the immune system organs for a sec, because, you know, the National Institute on Aging did list the organs that comprise the human immune system, and they listed the nose with your mucus barrier, your tonsils, also glands and filters, lymph nodes and lymphatic vessels, your thymus gland, your spleen, and bone marrow, which includes your blood and antibody production. You know, however, they did not list your first barrier to disease, which is your skin. It's the body's largest organ, and without healthy skin, you can die. So they also failed to mention the appendix, which is the immune system of the bowel. So the scientists go on to boldly state that more research needs to be done to better understand the immune system and how it changes, and get this, they want to understand its lifespan. Drug therapy, they say, can help the immune system as we age. Well, I think I can help them out a little bit there. The human immune system that is not destroyed by vaccines, prescription drugs, radiation, and chemotherapy has a lifespan as long as the person lives. Ta-da. Okay, so let's check. By the way, if you're on the newsletter list at thepowerherbs.com, you can just go there and hit books and newsletters and sign up for free. If you're on the newsletter list, you would get this neat little chart. It's a graph from the National Safety Council from 2016. It's a graph that shows the pain prescription drugs, which are poisoning patients and pushing up the death rate by 550%. Their words, not mine, right? So they admit that pain medicines are poisons. Wow. Yeah, they were comparing this, but from 1963 to 2014, death by pain drugs up 550%. Crazy. Well, you know, let's get the big picture. The big picture, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to give it to you. It's not luck or destiny that controls your health. It's you. Your creator gave you free will. And it would be to call God a liar to say that your decisions have no impact on your health, which is life. Your health is life, you know? So you don't have your health, what do you got? Nothing, right? So the most vulnerable in our population is anyone who refuses to educate themselves and trust in the system that thinks experimenting on the human immune system with limited knowledge of how it works is to be trusted. So everything that you put into your body affects your cell DNA. It's not random or by chance. Every drug, every vaccine, every experimental treatment that science can cook up is really undermining God's creation. So how can I say that? Well, science itself is revealing how they are tearing down the very walls of your defense that your creator gave you, causing sickness and more disease. So it's very simple. God wants you to trust in him. He wants you to look to him and, you know, see that he's already provided you with the protection you need. All you have to do is ask him. So he says, herbs are here for the healing of the nations in Revelations 22, verse 2, and herbs are for the service of man in Psalms 104:14. As we know, all scripture is inspired by God, and God can't lie. So if you're interested in learning how you can protect yourself and empower yourself with strengthening medicines from natural sources, herbs, God's herbs, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Get a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Or you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. And, you know, if you're on there, go ahead and sign up for the newsletters. They go out each week to your email address. You have to have email to get them. And no subscription. So the American's File goes out on Tuesday, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So you can sign up for both if you want. And if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs, and the newsletters will help to educate you and learn. You're gonna. It's a learning curve, I agree, but it's one that you have to – it's a road you have to be on to be savvy out there. Now, I'm not saying all medical treatments are to be shunned and avoided. I think modern medicine has its strength in trauma, triage, you know, stabilizing people that have been injured. But internal medicine disorders, they don't cure that. They manage the disease. I was telling somebody the other day, MD means manage disease, not medical doctor. And they went, really? I didn't know that. Well, my sense of humor. But you get the point. You can't get to a cure if you don't get at a cause. And medicine looks at symptoms, not cause. So, and they know nothing about nutrition. And apparently they don't know nothing about the human immune system. And they're giving everybody drugs that tear it down and destroy it and undermine it, and plus your brain. Of course, they don't know anything about that either. Not much. So trust in the Creator. He's got the perfect chemistry in his herbs. And if we don't disrupt it, if we don't alter it, if we don't change it, if we don't disrupt God's copyright in his chemistry there, we have some tremendous power in the herbs for balancing an imbalance and removing toxicity, a stumbling block for the system, to help us regenerate and heal. So forcing the body with toxic chemicals and synthetic hormones is going to lead you down the path of disease. So I hope you're going to be wise out there. Dig, dig, dig for the truth, because you're going to find it. If you ask God for it, he's going to show it to you. You may not like it, but he's going to show it to you. And as one person said the other day, if you really want to know who's in charge, you or God, make some plans and see what happens. You never make plans without asking God his wisdom and blessing on it. Otherwise, you know, it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like telling God this ship's unsinkable. Yeah, right on. All right, we're going to take a break in a little bit, but I'm going to set up the next segment. We're going to talk about some history and longevity. We got some neat things, some ancient things to go over, you know, such as we know what the cause of death is today. What was it, you know, 100 years ago or 200 years ago? And what's the difference in it? You know, why should we care? Well, it tells you a whole lot. Again, it's the bigger picture, forest through the trees kind of thing. So, and we're going to also, if we get time, we're going to talk about a little bit about chemotherapy. A lot of people, you know, just investigating the chemo, wondering if they should or shouldn't. And I'm amazed at how many people don't get on the internet and dig for information. Even in the scientific journals, it's there about what you're in for. Oncologists, you know, if they're truthful, will tell you, hey, we can't cure cancer. They'll agree. They don't cure cancer. The most they'll say is we give you the opportunity to heal yourself. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, history of longevity, more empowering news. Don't go anywhere. She drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking. Now she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking. Now she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking. Now she called the doctor, woke him up and said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, do you believe this belly ache? I said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, do you believe this belly ache? Now let me get this straight. Lime in the coconut, you drank and pour up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pour up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pour up. Put the lime in the coconut, you called the doctor, woke him up, said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor, do you believe his belly ache? I said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, doctor.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
Being proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength herbal organ cleanses and body foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. Getting really retro there. Awesome. Well, we're going to be talking about a little bit of history of longevity. If you look at comparing mortality rates and the types of diseases that, you know, caused a lot of despair, let's say 200 years ago, and what we can learn from that, we're told by experts that in the 1800s, we lived to be, 40, 50 years old? That's what they tell us. And we're also told that, you know, hard work made our ancestors die younger. So who is taking the credit then for humanity now living longer, you know, past 70 or 80 years old. Well, health experts are saying the credit goes to scientific medicine and the invention of better drugs and better treatments. And some say it's because of better hygiene and nutrition. Others say that our ancestors may have died sooner. However, we've traded years for quality of life in our current generation. So, you know, of course, some of them say the vaccines got rid of childhood illnesses, and then some say those illnesses were on their way out before vaccines even hit the market. So, well, we're going to take a look. I was a little curious. Let's see what all this could mean. So let's look at the cause of death 200 years ago. 200 years ago, a little sneeze or cough, you know, would send people into a panic, you know, because, you know, back then you could die from congestion. And then, of course, there was always, you know, if you go back a little further, there was a concern of leprosy and, of course, the Black Plague. So respiratory diseases were pretty much the primary number one killer in the 1800s. Tuberculosis killed about 1 in 4 in the 1800s, and this disease is comparable to, I'd say, AIDS today. And also, tuberculosis was really not deadly to those who had healthy immune systems, which prevented the disease from developing or growing. So malaria, now that was another concern that was brought into the Americas in the 16th and 17th centuries. And of course, can't forget parasites. They were also a big concern, but it seemed to be more severe in countries like Africa and Arabia. So health researchers feel that a treatment to remove parasitical worms using a splint stick inspired the caduceus medical professional symbol, which is the staff with the snake on the stick. Maybe. Well, let's look at plagues. Smallpox, bubonic, they were another issue brought in by boatloads with immigrants from Europe and, of course, rats. And notice that the leading cause of death 200 years ago was either a virus, a bacterial infection, or a parasitical infection. So that's not the case today. You know, at least that's not what we're seeing. Let's look at the cause of death now. We're told the leading causes of death today are pharmaceutical drugs, heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So the deaths by viruses or bacteria don't come close to the death statistics by prescription drug. Okay? So they don't even compare to the deaths by war. And a death by pharmaceutical has created a catchphrase called Pharmageddon. So here we are. We're living longer, just, I guess, to suffer longer? Or, you know, what's the quality of life there, you know? So in the 30-year period between 1976 and 2006, 62 million Americans died, and their death certificates cited medications as the cause of death. And that was written in the Journal of General Internal Medicine in 2010. I just didn't make it up. Here is the Baltimore Sun, who says 7 of the top 10 pharmaceutical drugs are used by 12th graders, seniors in high school. 7 of the top 10. That's just, yeah, where have we gone? Downhill. So everything basically in science is an illness. Have you noticed that? The problem with the medical profession is that they have made nearly everything under the sun a disease. And like I said, medicine has creeped into not just the physical area, but also psychological and social areas of our lives. So a simple and temporary imbalance is now a disease needing allopathic treatment. Here's an example, menopause, which is not life-threatening, but the intervention of medicine increases your risk of a disease that can affect a patient's longevity, such as, you know, taking the hormone replacement and getting cancer and dying from that. So one reason we have so many deaths by modern medicine is because drugs are prescribed for so many symptoms and patients are taking more than one drug, which do not always interact well together. So when you add in drug addictions and recreational drugs and alcohol, and you can see we've traded a relatively healthy life of 50 years for another 20 years of drug dependency. Yeah. So no cure in sight if you're going down that road. So many prescription drugs are made from substances that classify them as a sedative or a tranquilizer or just a straight up poison, like your pain pills. So in many cases, prescribed medicines suppress breathing and immune system and can deprive the body of oxygen. So people are either overdosing or poisoning themselves on their prescribed dose. And pain and antidepressant meds, as we've mentioned, are the top of the list for death certificates. Yep. Yep. So any drug that has a heavy therapeutic use will increase the risk of death by doctor. Let me read that again. Any drug that has a heavy therapeutic use is going to increase the risk of death by your doctor. Here is a quote from Jeffrey Coben. He's a professor of medicine, West Virginia University School of Medicine in Morgantown. He says, many prescription drugs really are every bit as powerful, addictive, and dangerous as heroin. End of quote. What? Right? Well, are we more advanced? I have to ask. You have to ask that question, is if modern medicine, modern society, if we're more advanced than our ancestors with regards to the healing arts. I look at it as, you know, kind of a mother may I situation, two steps forward, one back almost. So where medicine excels, like I said, field of trauma, giant step forward there. But where they fall back is preventative health care. They don't have prevention. You know, they don't. Two steps backward for that. Well, we need to be smart, use common sense, because when I read a lot of historical accounts that are written thousands of years ago about, you know, inventions and what scientists are doing, and even today, you know, it's hard for them to duplicate a lot of these studies in scientific journals because they seem to have, you know, left out some bits of important information. So it said that in Tiberius in the Roman Empire, first century AD, there was this artisan who created a special form of glass that didn't break. Can you imagine? That's kind of like, you know, the Egyptians invented colored glass and then we forgot all about it and then had to be reinvented years, hundreds of years later. Well, anyway, so here in the first century AD, here's this guy. He invents glass that won't break. You know, people say this is just a fable, but I don't know. I wouldn't just scoff at that so quickly. So over two centuries later, Cassius Duo had an account that he wrote about. 229 years later, he wrote about this, and he quoted it and said, there was this artisan, they called them artisans there, who made this glass goblet that wouldn't break. So he was admitted to the emperor's presence to offer him this invention. You know, can you imagine you invented glass that doesn't break? That's probably going to, you're probably thinking the emperor, the king's going to love you. This is what he thought. So on receiving So he gives the invention, this glass cup, to the king, and then the king hands it back to him like, okay, so it's a glass goblet, big deal. So this artisan throws down the glass goblet, dashes it to the ground, startled the emperor, but he picked up the goblet, and it wasn't broken. It just had a little dent in it. As if, you know, if you had thrown down like a metal goblet, like bronze or something. So he picks up the goblet, has a little dent in it. He takes out a little hammer in his pocket and he knocks the dent back out. And so the goblet went back into shape. And he thought, you know, well, this is going to be an invention the emperor is really, the king's really going to want. But what does the emperor do? I bet you can guess. Can you guess, Frank, what does the emperor do with this information? What would any person in power do with something like that? Well, the emperor asks the artisan, does anybody else besides yourself understand how to manufacture this glass? And of course he replied, no. So then the emperor ordered him to have his head taken off, because if the secret came out, the emperor said, it would be no more good for gold and silver. It would be as valuable as dirt. So the emperor was protecting the value of his gold and silver goblets and the manufacture of them in the sale of his empire. Uh-huh. So now the Egyptians, as I mentioned, invented colored glass and used it in jewelry and in pottery. The process was lost after their ancient empire fell, but was rediscovered thousands of years later by the Romans. So who is to say our ancient ancestors didn't live into the hundreds of years and had a superb healthcare system, had a superb knowledge of wellness and what can get you well? So the ancient Greeks were also known for their healing power, and who, after instructing patients how to take better care of themselves and so they could make fewer house calls, history shows that they were out of work. People just listened. They learned, and they weren't getting as sick. So history is showing us that civilizations were mostly from, you know, the ruling monarchy that had money, especially for burial and preserving the body, and the rich and powerful, and living in the lap of luxury, usually overindulged and weren't in the best of health. They weren't the best specimens to look at when they dig them up in antiquity and analyze their remains. Many Egyptian mummies have been given postmortem evals, and they've had cancer and congenital ailments, of course, all the interbreeding and that kind of stuff. So, you know, who's to say there weren't some superb therapies in the ancient world that are now lost to us right now? Well, as science tries to break down the chemistry and function of the human body to better understand and to control it, we can take advantage of some simple yet effective art of health, if you will, the ancients seemed to thrive on. They were using herbs and spices and foods. So culinary herbs were used also to not only preserve meats and enhance the taste of foods, but they were also medicinal herbs to enhance the function of our metabolism and to protect us from disease. So herbs are here for the service of man, as I mentioned. Herbs are meat. If you look at Genesis 1, verse 29-31, God calls herbs meat, powerful, you know, functional for the body, can provide a lot of protein and nutrients the system needs. So that tells me herbs have strength and the capacity to help the body heal itself, rebalance, and also restore itself. So that promise actually comes from God himself. So if you would like to learn more about herbs, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They specialize in immune boosting and organ cleansing. Cleanse and nourish the body and let the body heal itself. That's simple. Ancient, but it works. If you don't recongest the system with a lot of toxicity, like antibiotics and other drugs, you're going to live a long, long life. You are. I'm pretty sure you're going to be fine. A little common sense. Keep the diet healthy and clean and simple. We just junk it up too much, you know. We just prepackaged stuff is convenient, but it'll put you in the mortuary sooner. So you need to get your life back to basic eating and making it yourself. And the reason is, if you get organic fruits and vegetables and meats, even though it'll cost you more, you don't have to buy as much because it's so rich with nutrition that the body is satisfied on less volume. So it kind of balances out and your food budget. All right, so we got a few minutes, so we're going to talk about chemo. If you know somebody that's, you know, kind of evaluating their options there, patients who receive a diagnosis that they have cancer also may be given a treatment plan, and that may consist of chemotherapy drugs and radiation. There are like 100 drugs that are used to treat cancer now, and they often use them in different combinations. So these are drugs that are supposed to kill cancer cells. So doctors will tell their patients that the cancer cells grow at a faster rate than normal cells, and then the chemo is necessary. So asking the right questions or researching your options is going to give a patient a little bit more information, informed decision-making, and a little bit more peace about what's going on. So let's look and see if we got some options to our chemo. So what can chemo do? Well, the typical chemo drugs enter your bloodstream and attack the actively grown cancer cells, supposedly. So this means that it's also going to attack healthy cells because it attacks growing cells. And so that's why people feel like the walking death, so because it's attacking healthy living cells. And then it's harder for the body to replace those cells. Medical science says that damage to healthy cells with chemo is unavoidable, and healthy cells become collateral damage, basically. However, if patients ask if chemo can shrink tumors and kill fast-growing cancer, what healthy cells could be sacrificed in the process? That's what you should be asking an oncologist. So where the cancer is located in the body is going to offer a good indication what healthy cells may be sacrificed and die and what organs could be damaged. For instance, women with breast cancer. What's near the breast? The heart. So what do cancer cells do? Well, cancer cells can grow and divide quickly because they tend to suck up all the nutrition and starve the healthy cells. So on this premise, chemo is the choice doctors use because the cancer cells are greedy and will suck up the chemo that's in the blood. It's a toxic chemochemical. Therefore, cancer cells will get more of a dose of those toxins in the chemo drugs than supposedly the healthy cells. However, toxins are still toxins, and healthy cells struggle. So patients should be aware that cancer can come back after the chemo treatments are completed, and on average, cancer does come back and is detected within 2 years. And a lot of the times, you don't have the same cancer. You have a secondary type of cancer. So medical doctors tell patients that their cancer is in remission, and most patients think that it's the same thing as a cure. But the proper scientific definition of remission is a lessening of cancer symptoms and is in no way scientifically considered a cure. So the new way of putting it is called palliative therapy, where cancer is not eliminated but is simply managed or slowed down the growth of cancer cells. Oh, yeah. Well, let's look at the breast cancer real quick. There have been women who have approached the breast cancer issue with, plastic surgery after, you know, reconstruction after they get their chemo and radiation. The fact that breast cancer surgery can be disfiguring is now not even given a second thought to women because they can go get the reconstruction. Now, one patient, after faithfully having annual mammograms for more than 10 years, came down with cancer of the breast. So they removed the breast. It was medically recommended that she have both breasts removed. And so then she went for her 2 rounds of chemo, and then radiation was recommended as a treatment, and it was all scheduled. So the patient was planning on moving ahead quickly and getting that reconstruction done, all that plastic surgery, kind of feeling and looking more like normal. And she was hoping to have that done within 9 to 10 months of the surgery for the mastectomy. But, you know, unfortunately, after that first round of chemo, she experienced a cough and trouble breathing with shortness of breath. Her oncologist, the cancer doctor, referred her to a cardiologist, and after performing an echocardiogram and comparing it to the one she had prior to her surgery, they discovered that the chemo destroyed 20% of her heart function. And it's collateral damage. They know this is going to happen with breast cancer treatment. So the chemo weakened or destroyed heart muscle tissue, and now the heart struggled to pump blood through the chambers of the heart. This is called congestive heart failure, as 5 pounds of fluid accumulated around the heart, making it difficult to breathe. You know, ascending stairs, pretty much hard as well. So this patient now is at a greater risk of heart attack and death. The cardiologist prescribed diuretics to remove the extra fluid that may, and, you know, beta blockers, follow-up visit, all that stuff. So these heart drugs are going to be a mainstay now for at least 3 years. And the heart cannot repair itself. If it can't repair itself, then these drugs will be lifelong. So if you're not taking anything to strengthen the heart muscle, how is it going to repair? So the cardiologist also cleared the patient for another round of chemo drugs. Now, the patient was told by the cardio-oncologist they are going to change the chemo. It's going to be a weaker one, hopefully avoid any more damage to the heart, but they weren't sure, hopefully. They are not going to know until the treatment is done and the damage is done. So physicians really don't recommend chemo to patients who have existing heart disease and congestive heart failure or diabetes, but in this situation, they're recommending it. So why did this patient with chemo-induced heart disease get sent on for more chemo? Well, the answer is modern medicine already considers the patient to be a mortality statistic. She already dead. She can't get more dead. And they're going to take, you know, blood tests. They're going to give x-rays. They're going to pronounce the cancer in remission. And they'll, you know, 2%. The track record for chemotherapy success for treating cancers is less than 2%. So physicians know that there are very few people who can survive the treatment of cancer and live beyond 5 years. So, which I'm running out of time, so I need to cut to the chase, where Windsor Medical University out of Quebec, Canada, in 2012 discovered by accident that dandelion root kills all known cancer cells. They just happened to notice on Tuesdays leukemia patients' blood work was better, and what's different about Tuesdays? Well, they found out that's when patients had dandelion root tea. And they asked the lab to find out why dandelion did that. And they tested dandelion extracts, which is stronger than the tea. And they tested all cancer cells that they had. Did the same thing. Cancer is a greedy cell, sucks up the dandelion. And it makes the cancer cell commit suicide. Healthy cells know not to touch it, so they don't suck it up. The healthy cells have the option, right? They don't have to use the dandelion because it's organic, not a toxic chemical. So there you go. Dandelion root grows everywhere, all over the world. Cancer patients have access to it. I tell you, do your homework, research your options, and trust in God, you know. I you know, seek the Lord's face and mind the time. People that have faith and trust in God have a sound mind. They have reasonable cognitive decision-making abilities. So do that. ThePowerHerbs.com, if you want to check out, they do have dandelion root there. They have immune-boosting formulas there for those who need immune-boosting, especially if you're on chemo. You're going to got to repair your immune system. So look at your options, pray about it, and do your homework, and be well out there. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Puts the power back in your hands. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.